And now the game where we ask people about things that they know nothing about. Author and editor Christopher Buckley, the son of conservative icon William F. Buckley, has two big problems. The first is, now that he has endorsed Barack Obama for president, his friends in conservative circles are very mad at him. The second problem is that he's a political satirist, and the Bush administration is coming to an end. And actually, he's got a third problem. He has agreed to appear on this show. Christopher Buckley, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes. So many things happening with you of late, art and life and the intersection of art and life. Where shall we start? Should we start with art? Let's start with art.
Well, art imitates life.
It does.
Let's start with
you,
that.
You, of course, are a well-known and successful author of satirical novels, primarily about the political world. Your latest, most excellent novel, Supreme Courtship, has an outlandish plot. I couldn't believe it. It's about this young, attractive, countrified woman who comes to Washington, takes it by storm, much to the shock and dismay of all those stuffed shirts. How much did you pay Sarah Palin? How much did she pay you? I don't know which.
Well, it's a novel about a TV judge who gets on the Supreme Court. And I went out on a limb with a Washington novel and made the president actually a good guy.
Yes.
You know, he's from Ohio, and it's a scientific fact that everyone from Ohio is nice. His arch nemesis, this president, is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he wants to be on the Supreme Court himself, so he keeps shooting down the nominees that the Ohio president puts forward. So the Ohio president goes off to the Camp David in a huff with the first golden retriever, Dwight. And they're in bed looking for the bowling channel on the TV. And he comes across this courtroom drama and hosted by Judge Pepper Cartwright, who is a glasses-wearing, gun-toting, she wears a gun under her robes. She looks sort of like a naughty librarian. And it's a very top-rated show. And he thinks, okay, he's going to nominate her to the Supreme Court, and let's see if that... Yeah. Pesky senator can turn her down. So I give you a novel I turned in January, in which the antagonists are a cosmetically enhanced senator who has run for president multiple times and can't shut up versus a gun-toting TV hottie.
Yeah.
As Yogi Berra said when told that a Jewish man had been elected mayor of Dublin, Ireland, only in America.
That's crazy. Well, isn't it a problem? You actually wrote about this. That aren't you concerned with the passing of the Bush administration that we're just going to be running out of material?
Well, yeah. My inner satirist, sort of craves a McCain-Palin administration. This would be a target-rich environment. You know, this would be a low-hanging fruit. My fear is that my one regret in having endorsed Barack Obama is that he might just sort of do a good job.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
and then where will we be?
And I worry about this because, as you know, there's. There is a trade association in Washington. Not many people are aware of this, but it's the Association of American Political Satirists, and we meet generally in bars. And our motto is country second.
Yes. Let's talk about your endorsement of Barack Obama, of course. This came as a shock to many in conservative circles, you being the son, of course, of the founder of the modern conservative movement, William F. Buckley, Jr. And we know that there was some trouble with your father's magazine, The National Review, which you had been a contributor for, and the other circles. What kind of conversations have you been having? We know there was some public brouhaha, but have people been coming up to you and saying, have they been calling you a traitor? Have they been clapping you in the back? Have they been shaking their head sadly?
It's been an interesting time, yeah. I wrote my endorsement. By the way, I beat Colin Powell.
Yeah. I saw that whole thing as a Me Too.
Colin actually doesn't really like to make a move without me.
I know.
But, well, what happened was that I wrote my, I had a back page column in National Review, which I was having a great, great fun writing. I figured since my dad died in February, no one could anymore accuse me of nepotism than having a column in National Review. And anyway, I wrote my endorsement in my new blog on Tina Brown's The Daily Beast. And I went to some pains to say I'm doing that here so that it will not be confused for the editorial point of view of the National Review. And then old hell broke loose. I started getting emails saying, you know, I will never give National Review another dime so long as you are in any way associated with it, even if you're, you know.
Let me just describe for the radio audience that as he says that, Mr. Buckley is wagging his finger and shaking his jowls, which I think is a traditional well, sign of conservative dissent.
They teach, actually, I took a course in that at Yale. That's true. You know, so I felt very badly for National Review. This is, you know, my dad's magazine. And I, so I sent the editor, Rich Lowry, who's a very nice and good guy, an email saying, look, if it would make your life any easier to resign the column, this is a sincere offer. Well, be careful to whom you offer a resignation, I guess. But it was immediately accepted.
Funny. Has it been tough now that you've joined the revolution? I mean, has it been? Have you had to learn new social? I mean, it's probably hard to learn to call all your friends comrade now.
Well, I have signed up for the Chardonnay tasting course.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Absolutely.
And after that, I hope to graduate to cheese.
Right. Yeah, right. And how are you finding the Volvo? Well, Christopher Buckley, we are delighted to have you with us. We have invited you here today to play a game that this time we're going to call...
You look like a Hell's Angel escapee who invaded the Ziegfeld Follies on a rainy night.
That was the way...
Oh, that game.
Yes.
Oh, I love that game.
Yes, I know. I believe it was an extracurricular game at Yale. No, that was... That was the way the actress Anne Margaret was once described by the famous fashion maven Mr. Blackwell, author of Mr. Blackwell's annual Worst Dressed List. He passed away this week at the age of 86.
86.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And since we all know that your fashion sense begins and ends with plaid hunting jackets, ascots, and pocket squares, we are going to ask you about Mr. Blackwell's life and work. Answer two questions correctly, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle, on their voicemail being exceptionally catty. So, Carl, who is Chris Buckley playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Walker Burns of Ivorton, Connecticut.
I'll do my best, Walker.
All right. First question. Mr. Blackwell was born Richard Seltzer, a poor Jewish kid in a Brooklyn tenement. He rose from a terrible childhood to become a millionaire fashion designer. He wrote an autobiography telling this remarkable tale. What was its title? Was it A, The Seltzer That Drank Champagne? B, From Rags to Bitches? Or C, My Fabulous American Journey?
I'm tempted by C, but I think I'm going to... Do I have a lifeline here? Or is that other...
Well, now that you're a Democrat, it is all about the collective, so go for it.
I'm going to go for A.
You're going to go for A, The Seltzer That Drank Champagne. It was actually From Rags to Bitches.
Is it really?
Yes, he was more than a little catty, as we've said. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what he called
it. Rhymes with riches.
Yes, it does. Right. See, there you are. Bit of a
sorry,
pun.
Walker.
No. Don't be sorry yet. Although I was about to say, again, now that you're a Democrat, you should be continually sorry.
I already feel guilty.
Yeah, there you are.
Oh,
that's great. Yeah. It's starting already. You have two more chances, is what I'm saying. You get these two right, you can still win. Right. Blackwell was most famous for his annual insults of celebrities and their clothes in his list of the worst dressed. Which of these was one of his choicest put downs, in this case of singer Celine Dion. Did he call her a half sequined scarecrow, half gaudy acrobat? Is it Abe Lincoln in drag? B, a Montreal streetwalker on half price night? Or C, what you'd get if you stuck a Barbie doll into a clothes dryer in mid-tumble and kept what stuck?
Well, the meanest is B.
Yes, isn't it, though?
Yeah, so should I say
I'm
B?
I'm not saying. I'm saying that's pretty mean. I'm not sure if it's right.
To
just,
B or not,
or not to
B.
Be. Yeah.
B.
B, Montreal streetwalker and half price night. That was awfully fun to make up, but no, it was in fact A. It was half sequined scarecrow, half gaudy acrobat, Abe Lincoln in drag.
I'm sorry, Walker.
It's all right, but let's see what you do in the last one here.
Walker, I'm going to kill myself after the show, if that will make you feel any better.
No.
Do I have one more chance?
You do. Here we go. Blackwell loved alliteration in his put-downs, as he once showed in a description of, yes, Madonna. Was it A transient thrown off the trollop trolley? B, the bare-bottomed boar of Babylon? Or C, the slap-happy, sequined, slutty songstress?
Oh, Walker. A?
You're going for a transient thrown off the trollop trolley?
Yeah.
We enjoyed making that one up, too. It was the bare-bottomed boar of Babylon. I have to say, we sat down to write these fake ones. It's fun. It is really fun. I'm considering if the job's open now that he's gone, we're available. Carl, how did Chris Buckley do on our quiz?
He's really had a bad week here.
Yeah.
Chris needed at least 2 to win for Walker Burns, but Chris had no correct answers.
Wait, but couldn't we, like, just start over?
We could. And...
Now you're thinking like a Republican
again. Yeah.
It's called a recount.
Christopher Buckley is a humorist and political satirist, the author of several best-selling novels, including Thank You for Smoking and his latest, Supreme Courtship. He's an editor-at-large for Forbes Life. Christopher Buckley, thank you so much
for
being with us.
Thank you, sir.